Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1921 with a release date of June 6th, 2014 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham radio helps recover an abandoned satellite. More stations claim operation from a non-nation. Spain's King Juan Carlos EA0JC abdicates his throne. Alberta, Canada repeaters to begin retransmitting emergency alerts. And Kids Day is coming on June 21st. Find out the details on Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1921 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Ham radio has assisted in reactivating an over three decades old NASA satellite. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, reports.
The UK newspaper The Daily Mail says that several radio amateurs were involved with Project Reboot, which regained control of the 35-year-old abandoned International Sun-Earth Explorer 3 spacecraft on May 29th. Hams named in the article include Dennis Wingo, KD4ETA, H.M. Volhart, DH2VA, and Mario Lawrence, DL5MLO. The International Sun-Earth Explorer was launched in 1978 to study the Earth's magnetosphere. It carries 13 scientific instruments to measure plasmas, energetic particles, waves, and fields. As of this past May, all but one is thought to be functional. An onboard data handling system gathers the scientific and engineering information from all systems in the spacecraft. It then formats this information into a serial stream for transmission back to Earth on an onboard 5-watt transmitter. After completing its main mission, the satellite was repurposed in 1983 to study two comets. At that time, it was renamed the International Cometary Explorer and has been in a heliocentric orbit since then, traveling just slightly faster than Earth. It's finally catching up to our planet from behind and will be closest to Earth this August. Now KD4ETA has released an update on the attempts by the project volunteers, including the radio amateurs, to gain control of the spacecraft. According to Wingo, the probe has been successfully commanded into engineering telemetry mode. He noted the job done by DH2VA and also Phil Karn, KA9Q, to make this happen. Karn is well known in the amateur radio community for his work on the KA9Q network operating system, the early 9600-bit FSK radio modems, and more recently, the introduction of forward error correction into the amateur satellite service. As we go to air, Project Reboot members are working on deadline. If they get the spacecraft to change its orbit quickly, it can use the moon's gravity to get back into a useful halo orbit. If not, the fear is that for all practical purposes, the International Sun-Earth Explorer 3 could be lost. We will keep you posted. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
The actual first command to the revived International Sun-Earth Explorer 3 spacecraft was successfully sent from the Arecibo Radio Observatory in Puerto Rico using the facility's 305-meter dish. This after the volunteer team installed the needed modulator, demodulator, and power amplifier to make contact and control of the satellite possible. Masahiro Sanada, JI1ZR, reports the amateur radio CubeSat ArtSat-1 Invader, also known as CO-77, is in trouble, and he is asking radio hams worldwide to keep an ear open for the bird and to report anything heard. According to Sanada, the satellite does not reply to commands from the control station, and those involved in the project are trying to find out why in hope of finding a fix or workaround. The downlink frequency for ArtSat-1 Invader is 437.325 MHz. If you hear the bird, please send that information via a form on the web at api.artsat.jp/report. As the conflict between the Ukraine and Russia continues, the Southgate News reports that a pair of CW stations have appeared on the higher HF bands, claiming to operate from Donetsk and promoting a separatist People's Republic of Donetsk, or Novaya Russia. The call signs D0A and 1C4M are believed to be two operators on the same transmitter. However, the call signs are invalid and do not count for anything in ham radio terms. And there is also some doubt that the stations are really in Donetsk, but instead may be operating from somewhere in Kazakhstan. Spain's reigning monarch, King Juan Carlos, EA0JC, who led his nation through its transition to democracy in the 1970s, has decided to abdicate his throne, Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford in 8WB has more.
His Majesty Juan Carlos de Borbon, EA0JC, has ruled Spain since 1975, coming to the throne following the death of the military dictator Francisco Franco. For most of his reign, he has been beloved by Spaniards for shepherding that nation into a democratic era and putting down a military coup in 1981. It was perhaps King Juan Carlos's finest moment. On February 23, 1981, he went on television to face down that right-wing military rebellion that was already underway. His address was seen as having saved Spain's fledgling democracy and earning him the gratitude of several generations of Spaniards. But of late, His Majesty has been reported to be in ill health, and his popularity also plummeted amid corruption allegations against his daughter and her husband. He has also sparked public indignation by going elephant hunting in Africa at a time of deep economic recession at home. It was during that trip that he suffered a broken hip and was transported back to Spain to be treated. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford in 8WB reporting.
The announcement of King Juan Carlos to abdicate was made on Monday, June 2nd by Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy. At the same news conference, Rajoy stated that Crown Prince Felipe will succeed his 76-year-old father, but did not give a time frame for the new king's coronation. Many new ZS prefix radio amateurs will be on the air as the results of the May Radio Amateur Examination have been published on the South African Radio League website. Listen out for upward of 118 new hams coming to the air from South Africa. This after South African Radio League Radio Examination Manager ZS4GJA reports a good pass rate for the ham radio exams administered last month. Unlike other countries, South Africa only has two amateur radio exams each year. They are held in May and October, with usually around 120 successful candidates for each session. Call signs for candidates who submitted all the paperwork prior to the May examination have been published, and they may start using their new call signs immediately. Meanwhile, from Canada comes word that the Southern Alberta Repeater Association will begin retransmitting critical Alberta emergency alert messages starting June 18th. The Alberta Emergency Alert Program already provides life-saving information through radio, television, a public website, a smartphone application, Facebook, Twitter, and an RSS feed. The Southern Alberta Repeater Association is a Canadian amateur radio society with approximately 100 members who maintain over 20 repeater sites, providing continuous communications coverage between major centers in the province. The system is open to any licensed amateur operator and often gets used for provincial networks, public service events, as well as general communications. In DX Upfront, ON6KE has announced that he will be active stroke TF from Iceland between June 27th and July 4th. His operation will be low power, holiday style, mostly in the early mornings and evenings on the high frequency bands using CW, SSB, and JT65. Equipment is an FT817ND and magnetic loop antenna. QSL only electronically using Logbook of the World or EQSL. And JA3IUY will be active as AH0CI from the Saipan Rental Shack in the Northern Mariana Islands between June 21st and 22nd. Operations will be on all bands and modes, QSL via his home call sign, either direct or via the Bureau. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the NS9RC repeater serving Highland Park, Illinois. The ARRL reports that the FCC Enforcement Bureau has made public several warning notices issued over the past few months to radio amateurs. A couple of the letters from Special Counsel Laura Smith involved alleged infractions on 20 meters. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, with the details.
This past April 15th, FCC Special Counsel Laura Smith wrote Larry S. King, KI8NGS of Owosso, Michigan, regarding his alleged failure to properly follow station identification rules back on March 21st. Smith told King that he was monitored by staffers at the FCC High Frequency Direction Finding Center as operating his amateur radio on 14.313 megahertz for 20 minutes without identifying in a timely manner. Smith went on to tell King that this incident constitutes a failure to properly transmit his assigned call sign in violation of the commission's regulations. She continued by noting that King's operation is in contrary to the basis and purpose of the amateur radio service, as set out in Section 97.1, and is also a violation of Section 97.11A of the Commission's rules. On March 31st, Smith sent a warning notice to Daniel G. Chervovich, R9RSY of Ripley, Tennessee. In it, she alleged that R9RSY had engaged in an extended communication on 14.313 with a station that may not have been operating in the amateur service. To quote Special Counsel Smith, "On Friday, March 28, 2014, you were heard by staff of the Commission's High Frequency Direction Finding Center communicating repeatedly on 14.313 megahertz with an individual who you identified only as, quote, Cowboy, unquote. This individual failed to provide his call sign during your conversation, a fact that you were aware of as you repeatedly demanded that he provide his name, call sign, and location. Despite being aware of the rule violation on the part of this other individual, you continued communicating with him for an extended period of time." Smith also wrote to four other amateur radio licensees to note that they had all failed to comply with formal written requests not to use local repeater systems. Smith advised all four that the FCC expected them to abide by the request of the trustee and or control operator, and that they stay off the repeater and any other similar requests to cease operations on any other repeaters by any other repeater licensees, control operators, or trustees. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
In her letters, Smith advised all recipients that any recurrence of the alleged violation after receipt of the warning letter could subject them to severe penalties, including license revocation, monetary forfeiture, or a modification proceeding to restrict the frequencies upon which each may operate. In a follow-up to a story we brought you earlier, the FCC has imposed a penalty of $15,000 against Walter Olenek and M. Ray Nadler Olenek for operating an unlicensed FM radio station on 90.1 MHz in Austin, Texas. Mr. and Mrs. Olenek did not deny that they operated the unlicensed FM radio station after receipt of a written warning from the Enforcement Bureau that such action was illegal. Instead, the Oleniks asserted without any supporting evidence that they are not subject to the jurisdiction of the Commission. But in its June 3rd order affirming the previously issued Notice of Apparent Liability, the FCC says that Section 301 of the Communications Act explicitly sets forth the Commission's jurisdiction over all radio transmissions, both interstate and intrastate. The Oleniks were given the customary 30 days from the release of the order affirming the fine to pay it, or to file an appeal. If you are a user of Google's Chrome browser, then QRZ.com publisher Fred Lloyd, AA7BQ, has something that will make using his website a lot more efficient and enjoyable. Lloyd announced that he has published a free browser extension that will let you highlight and right-click on any call sign on any web page from any website and instantly perform a QRZ lookup. No copying and pasting or typing in the call on a separate page is required. The new app is available now in the Chrome Web Store. Just search for right-click QRZ. Video of the recent Dayton Hamvention Youth Forum is now available on YouTube. Presentations include that of Kyle Watt, KD2DWC, on rapid antenna deployment, and a comparison of radio versus deliberator technology by Divyam Mishra, KD0OOE. Other lectures from the forum are expected to follow. You can see the first two at tinyurl.com/2014-youth-1 and tinyurl.com/2014-youth-2 on the World Wide Web. The next Kids Day operating event, sponsored by the Boring Oregon Amateur Radio Club, is slated for Saturday, June 21st. Kids Day is not a contest, but rather a twice-yearly way for licensed radio amateurs to share the fun and excitement of our hobby with those who could be the next generation of ham radio operators. Kids Day runs from 1800 to 2359 hours UTC. To take part, you need only invite non-ham youngsters to your station, of course with parental consent. Once the event begins, simply call CQ Kids Day. More information, including a free printable certificate, can be found on the web at arrl.org/kids-day. AMSAT North America has put out a first call for papers for presentation at its 2014 annual meeting and space symposium. The event is slated for the weekend of October 10th through the 12th at the DoubleTree Hotel by Hilton at Baltimore Washington International Airport in Maryland. Proposals for papers, symposium presentations, and poster presentations are invited on any topic of interest to the amateur satellite community. AMSAT requests presenters submit a tentative title of your talk as soon as possible, but no later than August 1st. The final copy must be submitted by September 15th for inclusion in the printed proceedings. Abstracts and papers should be sent to Dan Schultz via email to n8fgv@amsat.org. An attorney that some hams claim is hostile to the amateur radio service on spectrum sharing issues says that's definitely not the case. In his recently published blog entry, Mitchell Lazarus says the charge of hostility is unwarranted and contrary to the facts. Attorney Lazarus goes on to explain that in today's world, there is need for spectrum sharing in many services to accommodate the vast number of new and emerging technologies. As such, no spectrum user can really avoid the need to share. Lazarus' blog post is a definite must-read for today's ham radio community, especially those who operate on the bands at 430 megahertz and above. You can find it on the web at tinyurl.com/attorney-replies. Four new ARRL section managers will take office on July 1st. In Indiana, Joseph Lawrence, K9RFZ, received 652 votes to top incumbent section manager Lou Everett Sr., WA5LOU, who polled 482 votes. Maine's Bill Crowley, K1NIT, received 258 votes to defeat incumbent section manager Bill Woodhead, N1KAT, who got only 156 votes. Northern Florida sees Stephen Zabo, WB4OMM, top Gary Alberstadt, KA3FZO, by a vote of 833 votes to 296. And in the closest race, Delaware's Bill Duvenek, KB3KYH, received 142 votes to defeat Jerome Palmer, N3KRX, who managed 122 votes. It need be noted that outgoing Delaware section manager Frank Filipkowski, AD3M, did not run for a new term. Because candidates in Delaware had to be resolicited for this election cycle, Duvenek's term of office will be 18 months instead of the normal 24. Five other incumbent ARRL section managers did not face opposition and were declared elected for new two-year terms. And lest we forget, a word of congratulations to Ray Novak, N9JA, who was recently honored by ICOM America with its 20th year of service plaque. Novak serves as that company's division manager for amateur and receiver products. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. A new 5 megahertz propagation has come to the air from Switzerland. Amateur Radio Newsline's Ralph Squilacci, KK6ITB, has the details.
Although the 60-meter band has not been released for ham radio use in Switzerland, the Circe Amateur Radio Club has obtained the necessary authorizations for a 5 megahertz experimental beacon project. Operating with the call sign HB9AW, the beacon became operational on 5.291 megahertz at 0 hours on June 1st. Each transmission begins with the beacon's call sign in CW. That is followed by 5 2-second-long dashes. The dashes are each attenuated by 10 dB in the effective radiated power, so that the first is at 10 watts, the next at 5, then 1 watt. The sequence continues with a dash at 100 milliwatts and ends with 1 at only 10 milliwatts. Transmissions repeat every 5 minutes, timed to the beginning of each hour. Its sponsors expect that the beacon should be heard during the day and night hours across Switzerland, including the Alpine valleys, but would appreciate reception reports from anywhere in the world that the HB9AW signal is heard. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB reporting.
An online form has been created on the Searcy Amateur Radio Club's website to accept reception reports. You'll find its URL in this week's printed Amateur Radio Newsline report. We all know that coronal mass ejections on the sun have a definite impact on radio propagation here on Earth, but few outside the solar science community have ever seen one close up. Now, thanks to video released by NASA, all of us can. The video was taken by NASA's Sun Observing Interface Region Imaging Spectrograph, or IRIS, spacecraft, and radioed back to Earth. It shows a large sheet of solar material erupting from our parent star that quickly consumes a field of view comparable to the size of 5 Earths wide and 7.5 Earths tall. It's an amazing sight that you can see for yourself at tinyurl.com/NASA-IRIS-CME. On the air, G0SGB has announced plans to activate all of the Madeira Islands lighthouses from July the 12th to the 22nd. The Madeira Islands are located in the eastern Atlantic Ocean, about 540 miles southwest of Lisbon, Portugal. G0SGB says he will be operational on all bands as conditions allow. He says that each QSL card will depict the lighthouse he is at when a QSO takes place. Your QSLs go direct only to G0SGB. To celebrate the 2014 World Cup for Soccer being played in Brazil this summer, amateur radio stations in that nation have been authorized to use special call sign prefixes between June 12th and July 13th. This by simply doubling the designation number of the original calls. For example, PY1AA could use PY11AA, PS7AA may be heard as PS77AA, and the like. Look for activity on all bands and modes. For more information, visit labre.org.br on the World Wide Web. In DX, F5LMJ will be operational as TO5MJ from Guadalupe between July 7th and the 17th. Activity will be on 40 through 10 meters using CW, SSB, and the digital modes. Paper QSLs go via his home call sign or electronically using Logbook of the World. PS8RV will be active as ZY8D from Kaju Island from July 25th to the 27th, including taking part in the Radio Society of Great Britain's Islands on the Air contest. Operation will be on the high frequency bands, but modes have not yet been announced. QSL via the information provided on QRZ.com. IZ2DPX and possibly one or two more operators will be active as VP2MPX from Montserrat between August 10th and the 24th. Operations will be on 160 through 6 meters using SSB only. QSL via IK2DUW direct or via the Bureau. Lastly, DF2WO will be operational as XT2AW from Burkina Faso between November 17th and December 2nd. Activity will be holiday style on CW and SSB. QSL via M0OXO. And for those not familiar with the term holiday style, it simply means that the operator has other things to do and will get on the air only as he or she has time available to do so. And finally this week, it's been a long time since we took you vicariously into space with the ARIS School to ISS program, but that's about to change. The online video show Ham Radio Now has produced a four-part series titled ARIS to the Max that begins with the usual video of a contact between school students and an astronaut aboard the International Space Station, but then goes much deeper. It also features a panel discussion with two of the students who participated in the contact, the teacher who coordinated it, the leader of the ham club that made the contact possible, and the public information officers who got the word out. Part one of the series shows the complete 10-minute contact between students at the Dixon Elementary School in North Carolina and astronaut Dr. Koichi Wakata, KC5ZTA, that took place this past April 21st. Here's a sample.
Yes, November Charlie 4, Oscar Charlie, NA1SS is ready for the contact.
My name is Talon Lynch. My question is, how do you shower in space? Over.
Talon, we do not have shower on the space station, so we use towel and hot water to clean our bodies. I have not taken shower for 5 months now, and I really miss it. Over.
Part 2 begins with two of the students, Aubrey and Joey. 9-year-old Aubrey was up for it.
So excited that I submitted 12 questions.
And as a part of a science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, or STEM class, she had a pretty good idea of what she wanted to do when she grew up.
Engineering. Computers mostly. Okay, I'm really good at those.
11-year-old Joey had his future plan, too.
Civil engineering, because it's a project for AIG, building bridges.
Mm-hmm.
So we build them out of popsicle sticks and straws. The bridge has to span a 50-centimeter gorge, and you have to stay on budget, so each popsicle stick costs $1,000, and each glue bottle costs $5,000.
If the kids have a bent toward science, it's because of their teacher, Betty Bigney. Bigney applied for the ARIS contact and was rejected twice before being accepted on her third try. Then she had a problem.
When I was accepted, I was like, oh man, am I in trouble now? So I got online and I looked for Onslow County ham operators and found the Onslow County Club. And Frank's name as president was there. So I called him and tried to explain what it was and what I wanted to do. And there was like this dead silence at the end. And I thought, oh man, am I in trouble? And then I said, well, are you in? And he said, yeah.
Frank Devini, W4UOR, called a special meeting of his club, but didn't tell them why.
I said, this is going to be a big, big deal.
So that scared away 90% of your club.
Yeah, pretty much. But when I got them there and we all sat down and was eating breakfast, that's when I dropped the bomb on them. I said, we have been invited to make the contact with the International Space Station. So, man, when I said it was the International Space Station and I explained to them that it was with Dixon Elementary School, everybody in there raised their hands. We're in.
Yep, they were on board. But there's a lot more to this story that we will bring you in part 2 next week. Meantime, to watch the entire video series, simply take your web browser to hamradionow.tv. Look for episode 144. You will be glad that you did. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, in Victoria, Texas, saying 7-3, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014, all rights reserved.